This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Encouraging prayer. God offers an open invitation for his people to talk with him at any time about anything. On Encouraging Prayer, Dr. James Banks, author of the best-selling Prayers for Prodigals and many other books on prayer, provides weekly biblical insight to help you learn to love to pray. And now, here's James. So today on Encouraging Prayer, we're going to talk about praying for revival. James, I can't think of a more important topic for us, really, right now.
I agree, Robbie. I mean, if you look at the world around us, one thing is clear. People need Jesus. And, of course, it's an election year, and so many are placing their hopes in one candidate or another, but only God can save us and help us to love and give us the future that we long for.
Oh, yeah. And love really... It's what's needed. I mean, if our hearts are changed with God's love, then so many of the problems we face will be changed as well. And we've seen this happen in history before.
Yes, we have. I think of the Welsh revival at the turn of the last century. It was so far-reaching that the entire country of Wales was affected. And, of course, you know, it went beyond those borders, even affected our own country. But in Wales, you can look at it statistically. The number of crimes subsided so much that the police had extra time on their hands. And, you know, this was a revival also that began and was sustained through people praying together.
Let's talk about where we see the concept of revival in Scripture, James.
Well, you see it in several places in the Old Testament, under David and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah, all kings. But one of my favorite references is a simple prayer taken from the sons of Korah in Psalm 85. Let me just read the first seven verses. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? And now here it comes. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. What you see here, Robbie, is both a simple request for revival and an explanation of what it looks like, what happens when it comes. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? So when God revives us, joy comes. We're happy because of his love. And that's why verse 7 says, show us your unfailing love and grant us your salvation.
James, you really have spent a lot of time studying these revivals, haven't you?
Yes, that's where my doctoral emphasis in church history was. And one of the things that we did was we'd read primary source material, and then we'd go to these locations where revival had happened or where revival leaders lived, and we prayed, Lord, do it again. And, you know, one of the things I discovered was that prayer is always a vital part of revival. You have to ask for it. And the reason why that just makes so much sense is if you think about it, only God can change a heart. You know, you and I can try to do it. We can talk to people, but God has to do it.
That is so true. He's the only one who knows how to really reach us. And he has ways of touching a heart and mind that, you know, we can't even begin to understand.
Exactly. And it starts with just a step of faith. Just imagine what could happen if God's Spirit moves among us in revival. I was just moments ago talking to a friend from Louisiana, lives near Lake Charles, and, you know, they went through that horrible hurricane there with Laura, and but he was talking about looking forward to revival. And you could just hear this joy in his voice, you know, because it would change everything, including ourselves. I mean, that's really the best place to start with a prayer like this, is, Lord, revive me.
Yeah, we really need to have humble and loving hearts as we pray for this, don't we? I mean, it can be just, I can't be, Lord, just change all those other people, revive them.
No, I can't, you know, and you look at this. I mean, if you read on in Psalm 85, you'll see another description of what revival looks like and how we can prepare it. Love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth. Righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Isn't that beautiful? And you see how that's just, again, rooted in love. And so we prepare ourselves by humbling ourselves before God's love and, you know, just trying to do what is right as we ask him to revive us.
Yeah, that reminds me of what God tells his people in 2 Chronicles, right? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I will heal their land. So we really do have to pray and humble ourselves. But James, what about those who say that we're just too far gone? How could revival happen?
You know, Robbie, I'd say that it's often at those times that God chooses to revive his people. It's when you just think all is lost. And remember, you know, just like we're saying, revival has to start with us. I mean, our focus can't be on those people. So awakening is what happens in a nation as God's people are revived, as the church is revived and call others to him, and the culture is then affected. And you know, I think as we think about revival, we have to ask, well, how far is too far for God to reach?
Oh, yeah, I hear you. God is always surprising us for the way he loves and changes people that we really never thought would ever come to him. I had a man that was in prison on my last show, a Muslim who killed all these people, and he ends up being now the guy who's leading people to Christ in the prison.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, and here's another quick story about that. I think of a young man named William who was what you would call a successful prodigal. His mom loved him, tried to bring him to Jesus. One of the last things she did before she died was she gave him a Bible, and he sold it when he was in medical school. And years later, he's working in a hospital. And this happened about a century ago, but there was a guy who was brought in with injuries, and it became clear that the guy would never leave the hospital. And he asked for two things, this man who was injured. He asked for his landlady, and he asked for the book. And he wanted to pay his landlady rent, and he wanted her to bring his Bible. So the landlady comes in with a Bible, and the man reads it as long as he could, and then when he no longer could read it, he held it in his arms under the covers until he died. And the nurse was cleaning out the man's things just as William, this physician, this successful prodigal, is walking by. And she holds up the Bible, and she says to him, she hands it to him, "What should we do with this?" And he opens it up, and sure enough, you see this coming. It was his own Bible. You know, it was the Bible his mother had given him, and he ends up leaving medicine and becoming, of all things, a Presbyterian minister. And just listen to the words of a hymn he wrote: "We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again." And that's based on Psalm 85.
Wow. And it all started, really did. It started with a mother's prayer for revival in her son's heart and life. And God answered them really so unexpectedly.
And he can do the same for us. But we have to ask.
Yeah. Let me wrap up our time together by really encouraging our listeners to pray with us for revival in our hearts and an awakening in our nation. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for these stories that encourage us that, wow, if we'd humble ourselves and seek your face, that there's places that we would go and that you would take us where we could make a light to revive others and that they too could see and know what an amazing God you are. I pray that you would light that spark and revive us again, Lord. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can hear more from Pastor James by visiting his website, jamesbanks.org, or by visiting Peace Church in Durham, North Carolina. May God bless you and encourage you as you pray.